be seated.
Shining sea, America, our country, the land of liberty.
Our fathers gave their lifeblood that we might still be free, and now the care of freedom's flame is handed down to me.
We will take
All right, let's sing another song about the country that we love, America the Beautiful. If you want to sing in your hymnal 242, please. America the Beautiful. We're going to sing verse 1 and verse 3. 242.
Beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Verse 3. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. Gold refine till all success be nobleness and every gain divine.
Okay, once again, it is our special Veterans Sunday service, and we're going to honor our veterans in just a few minutes before the message, but I did want to give you a couple announcements. Birthdays of the week, Charlotte Brickhouse's birthday on the 15th. Don Broyles' birthday is also on the 15th. Carol Lee's birthday is on the 19th, so happy birthday to all of them. With their special Veterans Day service, we're also going to have dinner following the service. I encourage you to stay. We're going to have some ham, have some mashed potatoes, macaroni and cheese, some corn and green beans and desserts, whatever everyone brought. And looking forward to a good day. So even if you didn't bring anything, we encourage you to stay and be a part of the meal with us. Other things going on, there is a change we're making in our Sunday school time. For the longest time, it's been 9:45. It is going up to 10 o'clock in the morning. So Sunday school now is for 10 a.m. That's for all the different classes that are there. We are starting something new called Children's Church from 8:45 to 9:45, using it as a outreach. And if you'd like to be a part of that, is when we're going to be running our vans and buses out to bring people in during that 8:45 to 9:45 hour. If you'd like to be a part and help with that, please let me know. And we are going to start that next Sunday on the 20th. Thanksgiving luncheon. We are having a luncheon on this coming Tuesday. It will be a Thanksgiving-style dinner. It is a time of just fun, food, and fellowship. Also, obviously, going to have a message from the Word of God that day. And if you'd like to be a part of that, please sign up. There is no age restrictions with that, but we'd like to know by today if you'd like to come and be a part so we can know how many you plan for. There's business meetings coming up on the 27th and December 4th. Also, more other things going on with the Christmas parade, floats, and outreach Saturday, and prayer partners fellowship. All those things are in the bulletin. Our adult Christmas banquet's coming up also on December 10th. If you have questions about that, I encourage you to look in your bulletins. Also, table decorating. We have our ladies help us decorate those if you'd be interested in part of that. All that information is in the bulletin. I want to encourage you to read it. Let's go ahead and have our ushers come forward. Go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing on the offering. Brother Frank, will you pray for us, please?
Amen. children laugh and play and learn what's right. I remember those who fought to forge our freedom, and those who'd rather die than lose the fight. But today it seems we take it all for granted, and it's easier to blame and criticize. But I, for one, will stand and pray for healing in our land today. I still believe that freedom's worth the price. I still believe we're the last hope of liberty. I still believe in the promise of the land I love. And I am not ashamed to say I pledge allegiance still today. I still believe in America. When I think about the future of this nation, I wonder if the torch will still burn bright, and if each new generation will remember and defend her honor then with all their might. For I believe that the faith of our fathers is the cornerstone that made our nation great. And we will stand for centuries if we remain upon our knees. I still believe my faith is not too late. I still believe we're the last hope of liberty. I still believe in the promise of the land I love. And I am not ashamed to say I pledge allegiance still today. I still believe in America. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And I am not ashamed to say I pledge allegiance still today. I still believe in America. America.
All right, let's sing a song, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? 317 in your hymnal. Am I a Soldier of the Cross? We're going to sing verses 1 and 4.
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name?
Verse 4.
Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Was drifting away on life's pitiless sea, and the angry waves threatened my ruin to be. When away at my side I dimly spied a stately old vessel, and loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy, ship ahoy!" And loudly I cried, "Ship ahoy!" The good captain commanded a boat to be lowered, and with tender compassion he took me on board. And I'm happy today, all my sins washed away in the blood of my Savior, and now I can say, "Bless the Lord, bless the Lord." And with joy I can say, "Bless the Lord." Oh, soul sinking down 'neath sin's merciless wave, the strong arm of our captain is mighty to save. Then trust him today, no longer delay. Board the old ship of Zion and shout on your way, "Jesus saves, Jesus saves." Shout and sing on your way, "Jesus saves."
So in honor of our veterans today, we are going to recognize them in just a second, but we do have a short video in honor of veterans. We're very thankful for our veterans here, very thankful for all those who have served in our armed forces. And in the back, you see three different tables, and they each have a little bit of a different reason why they're on a certain table. The table over there on the right is extended family members, immediate family members of our church family that is either currently serving, and there's a few of those on that table that are currently serving and or have served in the past. There's some dads back there, some children back there, all different types, and it's really interesting. On that table there, you'll see the relationship that's there too. It'll be written, like my father-in-law's back there, and it'll say Amy Pease's father. On the table on the left is those that are currently, at least my left, excuse me, it'd be depending when you're looking at it this way, is those that are currently part of our church family, whether a church member, regular tender, someone in the area. I know some of the people on the other table are people who grew up in our church, and we're thankful for them, even some that are serving still today, but those that are part of our church family now. And then in the middle table, you have a in memory of or in honor of people who have been part of our church family before in the past have gone on to be with the Lord. So nice tables back there. I'm thankful for all the people that brought the pictures in. Not everybody brought pictures in, which is fine. Hoping to do something similar again next year. So throughout the year, you can bring in the picture if you find it. I know some people had struggles finding the pictures with them in the military, but it's really a nice time. I know many of you enjoyed looking at them earlier, and encourage you afterwards to be a part of that too. We're going to go ahead and show a short video as a little bit of a tribute to our veterans, and we're going to come back and also then recognize our veterans and honor them with a gift. Go ahead and have the lights back on, please. If you are one of our veterans, whether you're currently serving or have served in any of our branches of the military, if you're willing to, we'd like to have you stand, and also we'd like to honor you with a gift. So if you don't mind, if you're one of our veterans, please stand. And gentlemen, if you'll go around, and they have a gift for you there, so they're going to come around. So let's give them. So if you can, if we're going to have you go around the room, if you don't mind, and tell us which branch of the military you served in, as these gentlemen are going to be giving you a choice between a gift. We have a really nice coffee mug thing there that says thank you for your service. But we'll start over here, Mr. Larry.
Yes, I was in the Coast Guard from 1980 to 2000.
Mr. Lee. Mr. Martin.
Army 77.
Thank you. Brother Jack?
United States Navy,
14
days.
Mrs. Colvin? United States Coast Guard, 6 years active duty. Mr. Martin? United
States Navy, 1979 to 1999.
Thank you. Mr. Lilly?
United States Army,
1963. Mr. Bobby Sheeran? Thank you. Mr. Rick Bill, Mr. Rick Greger, I'm sorry.
Navy, 1971-75.
Mr. Curtis Parks.
U.S. Navy, 1971-1990.
Mr. Heath.
Army, 20 year Vietnam, 9/11-66, 9/11-67, and God bless the USA.
Amen. Miss Jill. Mr. Steve?
U.S. Navy, 1966-1970.
Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you for your service. You can go ahead and be seated. Sometimes I don't think we missed anyone there. And once again, it's just a gift of appreciation, and just say thank you for your service. On the back of it, it has the church logo on the front. On the back says thank you for your service, because we are very thankful. Sometimes you don't always know what to say or how to say things, and that's why I enjoy the little videos, because it helps say it sometimes in a better way than you're able to. But we have a lot to be thankful for, those who are willing to serve our country and to help protect our freedoms and help protect our liberties. Yes, sir? Need to turn it on? That would help, wouldn't it? Earlier, someone told me that they struggle hearing me sometimes. I guess if I turn the microphone on, that would help. So the Gospel of John, chapter number 8 this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter number 8. We are going through a series on Sunday mornings through the Gospel of Mark. But when there's a special day, sometimes we will rearrange that a little bit. And that's one of those things with Veterans Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit about liberty and freedom and what it means to be spiritually free. And this morning, we did go through the next verses of the Gospel of Mark. So if you want to follow along, the Sunday school class should be something that was recorded and should be online for you to listen to. But we did go through 6 or 7 verses in Mark chapter number 1. And next Sunday, we will be also looking in the Gospel of Mark. Not sure if it's going to be Sunday morning or Sunday night, being the Sunday before Thanksgiving. But if you want to keep up with that, everything's recorded. Okay, John chapter number 8. We're going to look at verses 30 through 36. And the title of this morning's message is Free Indeed. Free Indeed. And as once again, we think about Veterans Day, we think about the freedoms and liberties we have, and we think about those who many have given their lives and years of their lives in service of protecting those liberties and freedoms. But that is a physical liberty that they're talking about here as a nation. There's even a greater liberty that is available, and not just available to those that are Americans, but available to all who will receive and for all that will believe. In John chapter number 8, we come to a passage of Scripture. There's a group of people here who do not understand that they are living in bondage, but Jesus offers them freedom.
They don't understand. Jesus talks to them about being a servant of sin. Jesus talks to them about being someone that's in bondage. And they says, oh, we're free. But this group is the Israelites. And the Israelites say, we've always been free. We're part of Abraham's seed. And you think about Abraham's seed, they were ones that were in bondage in Egypt, and ones over and over were in bondage in the days of Judges. And we think about the Babylonian captivity, they were in bondage there. And even at the moment in time when this was being written, or at least when the story is being told, they're in Roman bondage. So they were blind to the fact that they had a need. In John chapter number 8, it's a little bit of a familiar passage of Scripture, because you see at the beginning of the story in chapter 8, verse number 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. It says, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people come unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? So in a sense of an introduction, I want you to see the hard-heartedness of this group of people that brought this woman. So they bring this woman. It says she was caught in the very act of adultery. You can see her, this group, probably some men that were dragging her through the streets, don't even know if she's all the way clothed, don't have no idea, cast her at Jesus' feet and says, Jesus, what are you going to do with her? And as most of you probably know the story, it's an interesting read. It's not the point of the message this morning, but it gives us thought that Jesus begins to write something in the sand. And as he does that, he begins to bring conviction to the hearts of the people that are there and the people that are her accusers, and they all just kind of walk away. Say, what does that have to do with anything in the message? Think about it. These people's hearts were so hard, so cold, that they're willing to use this woman, embarrass this woman, because they want to see what Jesus would say. Look what it says at the end of verse number 5. But what sayest thou? The religious leaders of the day, many of them, they were interested in trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to find fault with Jesus. They were trying to find what he had done wrong or what he would do wrong so they could accuse him. They try to put him in situations where they knew if he responded one way, they could make an accusation. They put him, if he responded another way, they could accuse him of something different. Here they bring this woman, and obviously, where's the man at? She's not committing adultery by herself. They don't care about that. They don't care about the woman. The only thing they care about is undermining the authority of Jesus, dragging Jesus' name through the mud, and doesn't really matter. And these are known for being the religious leaders of the days. It says in verse number 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And I want you to see, as the religious leaders of the day, you see a group of people there that they were supposed to look up to. And this is a part of the problem with religion, quote, quote, today. What religion looks like, many times people are tired of it. Many times people are sick of it because there's hypocrisy. There is people who think that they're right and people who think that they're always right. And no matter what they're doing, as you can see in this story here, they have an issue and they have a problem, and they bring this woman inside of it. They did not know God, not in the way that it talks about in a personal relationship like we would talk about. They had rituals and they had different sayings and different things that they had put upon the law and on top of the law to try to get people to listen to them, and did not know the power of God because they did not know the Scriptures. Now, that yes, they could probably quote it, sometimes frontwards, sometimes backwards. They knew what the Bible said, but then they never let it affect their hearts. They were lost. They were in need. And in chapter 8, verse number 30, Jesus begins telling that, as you see what's happening in this story, he deals with them, and it's an interesting story. I encourage you to read it sometimes, and it talks about that. In verse number 12, after they deal with the lady, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. And they begin having this conversation once again back and forth with Jesus, making accusations time and time again. But in verse number 30, it says, and he spake these words, many believed on him. So as he's there, he's dealing with these religious leaders, because many times the people would look at them and look at the Pharisees and knew that there was something missing. Mark chapter number 1, we looked at in Sunday school this morning, it talked about that Jesus, when he came into a synagogue and he would preach, that the people were astonished. They were taken back with surprise. Taken back like almost with like if someone hits you with something. You're, wow, where did that come from? That Jesus, when he was teaching and when he was preaching, he taught and he preached as one that had authority, not like the scribes, not like the religious leaders of that day. He preached as one who had authority because he preached the Bible. He preached the word of God instead of preaching man's thoughts and man's ways and man's this and man's that. And they were taken aback and they were saying, wow, we've never heard someone speak like that. We've never heard someone speak. And once again, you can imagine what they've been listening to. I told the Sunday school class this morning, I want to be one that speaks with authority. Not so people will look up. No, so that people will look at me and say, wow, look at the great speaker. No, speak with the authority of the word of God so people will look to God and say, God is what I need in my life. God is what I desire in my life. And this is what I, and we can speak with authority like that. Why is that? Because Jesus has told us to go. Jesus has told us to preach. And Jesus has given us his word. So we can be one that speaks as with authority. Not obviously God's authority, but God gives us authority to do certain things and we go in his name. And then you see here that there's many, and he's dealing with these Pharisees. You can imagine how difficult it would have been dealing with someone who was religious but not godly. Dealing with someone who's making stories like you see with this woman. And later on, there's another time when they bring Jesus, a man that had an issue with an issue of his hand. And they brought him on the Sabbath day. And they brought him this man. They put him right in front of Jesus and said, what are you going to do with him? Jesus asked them the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He asked the group that question. He wanted to see what they were going to say. No, he wanted to prove a point to them. Because if he would have healed on the Sabbath, you know what they would have done? They looked at him and said, you broke the law. You shouldn't do work on the Sabbath. But if he would have said, I'm not going to heal this man, they would say, look, Jesus doesn't care about you. Religion is dead. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And many times there is many different false religions that people are doing things in the name of a God, and they're just continually in a ritual and do not realize that they are in spiritual bondage. And that's what Jesus is coming, and he's speaking to these people. He's saying, there is a freedom that is available. There is a freedom that is in me. There is something that is available to you that can make you spiritually free, and not just free, but free indeed. And when you see this passage, he's dealing with these people, and you say, well, there is nobody is going to get right then. Well, no, there are. You got to be faithful when you deal with others. And many times people are very sincere in their faith. Many times they're in what they believe, and they're just blinded to the truth. And that's when he says here in verse number 30 that as he spake these words, many believed on. If you speak the words of God, people are going to believe. Not all, but there are some that will come. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So verse 31, he's saying, look, if you continue in my word, that gives the idea, if you'll hear the words that I teach and follow after me, if you learn of me, then you will be my disciples. That's what a disciple was. Wasn't someone just who had knowledge, someone who learned of them, someone who acted like them, someone who became like their teacher. He's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Sometimes you see a sports player that learned from someone else. You can tell he learned under that coach because he teaches the same way. He trains the same way. Bill Belichick is supposed to be this great coach. I'm not too impressed with him, but some people are. And they always hire Bill Belichick's assistants after a few years, and they say he teaches and he coaches like Bill Belichick does. And here, what he's saying, if you want to know me, if you want to act like me, if you want people to see me in you, you will not only know about me, you'll learn of me and become like me. And that's what he's saying in verse 31. Verse 32, he comes and he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, these religious leaders are not interested in anything Jesus has to say. They are hanging on every word so they can figure out something he says wrong. Don't come to church like that. Some people come to church just to see what the pastor might say wrong, or what they can make an accusation against, or they might take the story the wrong way, or they might not like an illustration, or this or that. pray for your preacher. Pray for the people that you have the opportunity to listen to and speaking wise. But that's what these religious leaders are. They're not coming to church for the right reason. They're not approaching Jesus to learn of him. They're trying to find fault with him. And he says to them, he says, you can be free. And in verse 33, they respond. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So they sit there and they're foolish in what they're saying. They say, first of all, we're Abraham's seed. Because we're Abraham's seed, that makes us special. We don't need to be free. But who's in charge right now? The Romans are in charge. Who was in charge before them? You go back a few years, the Babylonians were in charge. Who was in charge of the Israelites back when Joseph was alive? You know, later on in Joseph's life, the Egyptians were. They were in bondage over and over and over, many times because of their own sin. But they're sitting there and they put on these rose-colored glasses and they're saying, oh, I'm free, I'm good, look at my heritage. And I think sometimes people will say, hey, because I was born in America, I must be a Christian because we're a Christian nation. And there's others that say, we're not a Christian nation anymore, but they can't take away the principles that our country was founded upon. They can try to change history, but it doesn't make it right. A lie is a lie. But at the same time, just because you were born in America does not make you a Christian. Just because they are Abraham's seed doesn't mean that they were free. No, they were in physical bondage, but they were also in spiritual bondage too. Verse 34, the Bible says, and Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. He says, you're not free. You're in bondage. Because sin, if you sin, and that's talking about a continual sin, but it also reminds us of an important truth. We're all sinners. We've all done something wrong before. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's what he's telling him here. Look, because you're a sinner, you're a servant to that sin, and you're in that bondage, and you need to be freed from that bondage. In verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. So he's giving a simple illustration there. If they're a servant, they're not staying in the house. They don't have that relationship. They're leaving at the end of the day. They're going home, or they're going to wherever they live. The son will be there, and the son is staying forever because he has that relationship. And then in verse 36, he says, if the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the thought there is, if the Son, talking about Jesus, will make you free, you shall be free indeed. So here's a couple things I want you to think about. First one I want you to think about is the source of our freedom. The source of our freedom. It says in verse number 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That word truth refers to a truth in respect to God and the execution of his purposes in Jesus Christ. So that sounds like a mouthful. It does. It is the idea of what truth looks like. The reality of the gospel. Some people don't like to hear it. Some people don't want to believe it. Some people want to be like this religious leader group that's saying, oh, I'm free. I don't need anything. I've never been in bondage. Oh, look, I'm part of Abraham's seed. That's going to make me okay. But that's not the truth. What the truth is that sets us free is that when we know the truth, which is that we're all sinners and that we all are in need of a Savior and that we must all turn to him and put our faith and trust in him, it's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all, which was also I also received, but how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the reality is, the truth is going to make you free. The truth about what? The truth about ourselves. The truth about what Jesus Christ did. Now, they had no problem believing that there was a God. They gave their lives to a God. They believed in him, but they didn't believe in the God of the Bible. They chose not to believe that Jesus Christ came from that God. And I know there are people out there that believe in a God, but it's those that have put their faith and trust in him. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, that's truth saying, I need to get to heaven. If I want to get to heaven, I have to go through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. That's the source of our truth. When he says, the truth shall make you free, he's saying, that truth is, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? He's telling him, look, you're a servant of sin. Look, you don't have that relationship. You need God. And they're like, oh, no, I'm good. And is we have a lot of wonderful freedoms here in this country. We do. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the people who help protect those. But there's some people out there today that think they live in a country. It's not our country. They think they live in a country where everything's fine, everything's good, and they're living under a lie. They don't have the freedoms that they really think that they have. They live in certain societies and certain beliefs and certain systems. And then you're like, oh, everything's good, everything's good, until the truth hits them. And I think sometimes in our world today, there is a group of people out there that says, I'm good, I don't need God, I don't need this. And that's what this group is saying. I don't need you. I don't need you to make me free. Who are you? But it's the truth that's there. If you want to be made free, it comes from the truth. And that truth is demonstrated all throughout the Bible. It's found in every page of the Scripture. And the truth is also found out is shown to us through the world that we live. And the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So it's coming to the point that even the world, creation itself, says there's a God, there's a need that's there. In Romans chapter number 1, it talks about how man is without excuse, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of man who hold the truth in unrighteousness, saying it holds the truth of what? That there's a God, that there's a creator, and they're holding it in unrighteousness. They choose not to glorify God. They choose to be like this group of people over here saying, I don't need you, but the truth will set you free. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by set you free? What type of bondage am I in? First thing is, the source of our freedom is the truth that we find in the Bible. It's the scope of our freedom. He uses the word free here in verse number 36. And they are free indeed. It gives the idea of getting set at liberty. It gives the idea of a slave being liberated from his bondage. And the liberty that Jesus gives us is a complete liberty. It blots out our past and makes us absolutely and eternally free in him. You say, well, we're free from the wrath of God. In Romans chapter 5, it talks about the wrath of God. We're free from the condemnation of our sin. We're no longer in that bondage. In John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what the Bible's saying there is, you can be free from that condemnation. Because we're sinners, we're lost, we're all condemned already, we're all headed to that horrible place called hell. And he says, once I make you free, because the Son can make you free indeed, you're no longer underneath that condemnation, no longer are you under the wrath of God, no longer are you under the power of Satan, no longer are you under the power of sin. You've been delivered from death, you have been delivered from hell. His deliverance is something that is complete and something that is full. So you sit there and you say, well, I didn't realize I was in such a bad spot. That's what the truth tells us. The truth demonstrates that. And that's what Jesus is looking at this group of people who had dedicated their lives for religious rituals. He says, no. He says, you're in bondage. He says, no, I'm free. I'm Abraham. No, we got to remember what truth is. And what is truth? Truth is what the Bible says. And it says that all men are in need of a Savior, and that God loves us and God is willing to die for us. One of the things that I appreciate when it comes to Veterans Day, probably above all things, is sometimes the sacrifices that are made by our veterans. You think about having to leave their family behind sometimes, many times, and willing to put themselves through certain physical things to get them, make sure that they're ready for service. And I think about the sacrifices that many times the veterans have made over the years to help protect our freedom. There was a sacrifice for also our spiritual freedom too. Most of us would know that spiritual freedom sacrifice was, and it was Jesus Christ. See, God saw the need. God saw the world that was going to be in bondage. And God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to this world to die for our sins. He was our sacrifice for us. The Bible puts it that he was our propitiation for our sins. Not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. The Bible says that he laid on him the iniquity of us all. You think about all the iniquity. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Scripture teaches us and shows us a picture of the cross that Jesus died on, a mental picture, that he was willing to be the sacrifice for the whole world. He gave of himself. Why would someone do that? It's because he loves us. The freedom we enjoy as Americans was not cheap. We enjoy freedoms as Americans because there was many brave soldiers who paid for our freedoms many times with their blood, many times with years of service. And today I want you to understand that spiritual freedom is not also cheap. Spiritual freedom is something that Jesus gave his life. While the price for our national freedom was costly and bloody, it pales in comparison to the cost of our spiritual freedom. The cost of the spiritual freedom was the death of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. Why would he do that? It's because he didn't want us to be in bondage. He didn't want us to be lost. The Bible talks about how he, in his foreknowledge, knew what was going to happen and that he loved us and that before the world was ever began, before the foundations of the world was ever laid, the Lamb was slain. We talked about the Lamb of God a few weeks ago on Sunday morning and had this plan that God's Son, Jesus Christ, would come and die. That's what we celebrate about Christmas coming up. In the back, we have some postcards about our Christmas program coming. It's called From Christmas to Calvary, because that's all. The only reason why there was a Christmas is because there was a Calvary that had to happen. It was a promise. And I want to encourage you today, we are thankful and grateful for the freedoms we have, thankful and grateful for the veterans that we have. But are you spiritually free? I'm not talking about, yeah, I live in a country, I can say what I want, I can do what I want, I have freedom to do these things. Are you spiritually free? Because there was a group of people back in Bible times that says, we're not in bondage, we're good. There's a group of people that live today that says, I don't need the Bible. I don't need the Word of God. I don't need Jesus Christ. You can have Jesus Christ, you can have his blood, you can have his cross. I don't need any of those things. What they don't realize is that they're living in bondage. They are spiritually dead. They're headed to a horrible place called hell, and that Jesus Christ came to die so that they would not have to experience and be a part of that. And so, well, Pastor, how if Jesus did that, then why in the world am I still headed that way? It's quite simple. It's because there's those that have not believed. The Bible says in Romans 10, 8, and 9, but what saith it? The Lord, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not just believing that there is a God and believing that there is a Jesus Christ. It's recognizing that we're a sinner and that Jesus paid that sin debt for us. Spiritual freedom begins when we call upon the Lord to save us. When we see the fact that we are a sinner and that we lost and we know that we're headed to that place called hell and that Jesus Christ came to this world to die for us so we did not have to pay for our own sin debt. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Even this group of Pharisees that were mocking him, even this group of Pharisees that were being trivial with him, even this group of Pharisees that were causing all these issues and problems, some of them even turned to God. Some of them even became Christians. Some of them even became believers. So whoever it is that understands their need and repents of their sins, they can ask the Lord to save them. Look across the room, and I know there's many people here today that know Christ already. And there's people who here today say, Pastor, I'm thankful for the message because the message is true. And there are a lot of people that don't even understand that they're in bondage, like that group in John chapter 8, and they need to be freed. They need to be freed spiritually. And hopefully today, if there's someone here today in bondage, would be free. But I want to encourage the believers that are in the room today that the Bible says that liberty and freedom that God's given us, we need to make sure that we use it for the right reasons. Some people take freedoms and abuse the liberties and freedoms that America has. And the Bible says in Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." If we have liberty and freedom that's found in Christ, it's not so we can continue on sinning and living whatever way we want. He says that we should serve one another. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." He says, do not continue on going back to that sin and being a servant of that sin. Christ has made you free from that. Don't live underneath that bondage. Don't continue to say, just because I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, I can live whatever way I want. That's not the liberty that he has given us, not the reason why he gave us that liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17 puts it this way, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." There is liberty that we have as believers. Make sure we do not use that liberty in the wrong way. Sometimes people use the freedoms and liberties we have today for things that are disgusting. And we look at that and say, man, that's not what that liberty stands for, that freedom's made. And so many times as believers, sometimes we forget about what God has done for us, and we go to live for ourselves, and we put ourselves back under that bondage. We don't use our liberty and freedom so that we can be free indeed and serve the Lord with all our heart and all our mind, all our soul. But instead, we use that saying, well, I have grace. I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. I'm going to heaven. That's not a big deal. That's what the Bible talks about there. Don't abuse that liberty. Don't abuse that freedom. So you look once again in John 8, and look what it says in verse 36. If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Today, if you want to be free spiritually and freed indeed spiritually, that comes through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. Are you free today spiritually? Say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Well, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be free. I don't know about you, but I remember that day when I became a Christian. I was a young boy, 8 or 9 years old. I think I was 9. And first time in my life, I felt conviction of my sin. The preacher was up there and he was preaching. He was preaching about the second coming of Christ, and my life was just falling apart. If he came that day, I wouldn't have gone. But God convicted my heart, showed me I was a sinner, and I came forward and I asked the Lord to save me. Have you ever been convicted of your sins? It's okay. Yeah, I have. Have you ever done anything with it? And it's just not feeling guilty. It's seeing a sinner and seeing yourself as a sinner, seeing what Christ did for you, and believing in what he did for you. That by faith, we believe and receive that gift that he's offering us. Because for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, have you been made free spiritually? Don't be like that group. The group of people, like I said, you might not even be one of those religious leaders that are using that woman, and that makes my stomach turn. How could somebody use somebody like that? How can somebody be so angry and ugly towards Jesus? What did he ever do but heal somebody and teach somebody? How could that ever, why would some, you might not be like that religious leader, because those religious leaders sometimes makes our hearts sick. But the Bible says that we're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. They might be the worst of the worst in the idea that they're trying to push their religion and saying, this is the right way to God. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we have it on the authority of the Bible. That's what it says. But it presents, the truth shall make you free. That presents that it's something that we all need. Whether you're that Pharisee or that person that just never knew, or maybe it's the first time you ever heard the story, or at least understood the story, Jesus died for you. And we're all in need of a Savior. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I'd like to ask the question.